Geek News Central, show number 608, is sponsored by Citrix, GoToMeeting, Infusionsoft, and GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a member of the Tech Podcast Network of Family Safe Tech Shows. Hey, tonight coverage is going to include discussions on the Set-Top Box conference that I went to last week, our new morning tech show. We're going to announce the winner of the Roku giveaway and the Craigslist dilemma. Hey, everyone, got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, we're coming to you as live as it can be from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, how's you doing? How was your Labor Day weekend? Everyone have a great 3 days off. I tell you, I've had a nice little staycation here in Honolulu. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first things first, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show and viewers. Hey, thanks for being part of the family, and thanks for staying subscribed and all the longtime support of the show. I definitely appreciate it. For those of you that are new to the show and checking us out for the very first time, you have joined a family that reaches, the show reaches 170 countries worldwide. People that tune in audio and video portion of the show. And most of them get the feed automatically. Basically, they get the show automatically. They're subscribed to our RSS feed. And that's the best thing to do. If you want to stay subscribed and stay up to date with the show, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com and then subscribe to the show either via Zune Marketplace, iTunes, use your favorite podcatcher on your mobile device. And you'll find all the information in the second column of the website of being able to subscribe to the actual podcast so that you never miss a single episode. You know, the best part of it is it can be consumed anytime, any place, anywhere, not necessarily in front of your computer or maybe your Roku, unless you like to watch. really, you can consume the show anywhere you want. Make sure you get signed up for our newsletter as well. Our newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover in tonight's show, including comments that have, or actually articles that have come from listeners and viewers like you. You can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail hotline or 24-hour hotline at 619-342-7365. And really, the hotline is there for you to add to the commentary from a show, to make a comment, complaint, praise, whatever it may be. And we look forward to hearing your comments on the hotline or via email. That newsletter, though, you can subscribe to that again via the website at geeknewscentral.com. Get subscribed and never miss out on any of the content that we throw out from the show. Of course, if you're watching us on the Tech Podcast or Blueberry channel on the Roku or Boxy, we want to welcome you to the show. Of course, thanks for watching us there as well. Starting to see a lot more feedback coming in, positive comments and suggestions for the show. So we're going to be taking into some of your comments and actually suggestions and implementing them over the next few weeks. So thanks for all of you that are basically sending in comments about the show, and it is definitely appreciated. Well, of course, if you're watching this live right now on Justin or Ustream or maybe in the replay show, hey, thanks. We appreciate you tuning in as well. Okay, let's take care of a little business here. Then I got a lot of content to get into tonight. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Hey, GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show, and you know GoDaddy is a place to go to find domain names, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, you name it, GoDaddy's got it. Matter of fact, I picked up a domain tonight for a new show we're going to be launching on Saturday. I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. And I used my own promo code COMSALE to get that .com at $7.67, I think is what I paid for it. So lots of promo codes. You can find all those at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And grab the promo code that you need, and it'll save you the most money and use it when you check out. Again, lots of great products and services over there. And you know, I've been digging around, and I actually found a new product that is called video.me. And this looks like really slick interface for those of you that are doing a home movie from time to time and maybe you want to put it up someplace and share it with family, someplace that you can control. And the video.me site, I think you get 500 megs of storage a week. And then you get, basically unlimited streaming of that video. And I haven't played around with it enough yet to figure out all the nuances of it. But great place for you to really kind of share videos with family and friends. And I don't know if that storage amount accumulates. I'm hoping it does. I'll know here in another week as I test out the new the video.me service over at GoDaddy. And again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, and definitely check out the promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, this weekend, my family and I, we did a little staycation. When I was in California at the Set Top Box Conference, my wife called me and she said, "Hey, I want to make reservations downtown. What do you think? You want to stay downtown one night?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." So we had a festival. My wife's being from Okinawa. We're involved in the Okinawa Cultural Center here. We're members. So basically every year there's a big festival for the Okinawan community. So we volunteer time to go down. Actually, she volunteered to basically serve food and stuff at one of the food stands. And I then took the kids around and basically let them spend some money on some games and stuff. Then after that, we checked into the Marriott Waikiki. Spent the night there, hung out in the pool, jacuzzi, drank some suds. It was wonderful. And woke up early this morning and kind of watched the sun come up. And it was just nice. It really was. It was a nice kickback. Got back here late this afternoon and took care of a little business. Actually did a little work and then got ready for the show tonight. We're actually starting really early, about an hour early from when we normally start the show. So if those of you that are actually on the live stream right now, hopefully that we didn't get you all screwed up on getting going a little bit early, but just kind of trying to wrap the day up here. I want to talk about a new show. It's part of my 5-show initiative. The first show that we're going to launch is going to start this Saturday morning, and it's actually a show that I'm going to be hosting. It's going to be every Saturday morning. It'll be live starting at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. It's going to be a show that I and some other tech celebrities are going to be producing. We're going to be, of course, I'm going to be shooting here from the studio in Honolulu. Then we're going to have some folks come in on the Ohanasaurus. So that will be kind of nice. We'll get some utilization out of the Ohanasaurus. We'll have at least two guests the first time. We're going to kind of play with the format as we build it out. And ultimately, the Ohanasaurus may have to grow to a 4-channel system. We don't know yet, but for right now at least, the plan is to keep it at a 2-channel. See, I forgot to look at the other camera. So I've been trying to figure out how I can put some additional monitors up here so I can monitor the downstream on the backside. And so we're going to be playing with that a little bit as well over the week, trying to get the studio set up for that. But I have asked an initial two guests who are going to be on if they are available. So I'll probably announce on the Thursday night show, which is released Friday morning, who the guests are going to be. And what I plan on kind of doing is it's going to just be a time where we can kind of real. And I, obviously, it's going to be very early in the morning for me because we're going to have to start at 6 a.m. Honolulu time in order to get the guys 9 o'clock Pacific and 12 noon Eastern on board. And we're going to go in, you know, at least an hour. And, you know, there's really going to be no upper limit. We're just going to kind of see how things go. And it's going to be a chance for us to have more in-depth discussions about certain topics. So if you have a topic that you see during the week that you'd like me to cover in a more in-depth nature on the morning tech show, let me know. And I haven't settled on that name yet. So far, I kind of like it, the morning tech show. And someone else has got any cool ideas for a show name, let me know. But for right now, the morning tech show will be starting this Saturday. We hope to do this every Saturday. And I basically am going to work real hard to make sure this goes off every weekend. There'll be some challenges when I am traveling. And so I'm going to be working with at least one of the hosts to basically be a fill-in, to be the primary host on those days that we're not able to do for at least if I'm in the air coming home or something like that. So anyway, from an event mainland, but that's the plan right now, is to start the morning show this coming Saturday. And I hope that you'll join us live if you've got time. Don't worry if you don't. We'll have it on rebroadcast. You'll be able to check it out. And we'll be talking about the RSS feed and stuff on Saturday. We'll get that all set up. So look forward to that. And if you've got a topic that you'd want us to go in-depth on, let us know. We'll have a chat room where you can come in and chat. Probably we'll initially host it in the Geek News Central Ustream channel. Well, that's probably where it's going to be streamed exclusively initially. We're not going to be able to dual stream it on Justin.tv at this time, just because I'll be using the Ohanasaurus here for its intended purpose, instead of using that bandwidth to push back to Justin.tv. So look forward to that, and look forward to hearing about it. And if you guys have comments on what you'd like to have us talk about in depth, we'll do that. We'll be taking basically comments from the chat room as well. You know, one thing that was kind of cool here on, you know, my wife and I have been talking about investments. We've been talking about, you know, basically we're just, you know, looking our portfolio and see where we're, you know, basically how we're all kind of, you know, where we're sitting at. And I've considered going with a different a firm to handle that. And I got a knock on the door Saturday, and this guy's standing there, and he's, you know, dressed pretty nice in an Aloha shirt. And I kind of like, okay, what's this guy selling? And it was actually a guy. It's a new agent in the local area. He's with Edward Jones. How many of you got accounts with Edward Jones? What's your experience been with them? So we talked for a few minutes, and then we're going to arrange a time and where he's actually going to come to my house. I told him I'm not buying no insurance, but he's actually going to come up to the house probably sometime next week, and we're going to talk a little more. But how many of you have actually used them as a basically for your investment needs? Kind of love to hear any feedback from you. Kind of in the meantime, not super familiar with them. I was going to do a little bit of study on the net. But I had to hand it to this guy, coming door to door to gin up business. And I, you know, some people would be turned away about that, but that's big initiative on my part. I think that shows me that this guy wants to do business, and, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Hey fellas, if you want a way to approach this 3D thing with your wives and girlfriends, and of course, ladies that listen to the show, if you're kind of got your eyeball on a 3D TV, what happened today on the way home from Waikiki? We were, I told her I wanted to stop in at Best Buy, and I'm basically looking at the, Canon Vixia, what is the camera that I was actually looking at? I think it's MF30 or something like that. It's their new model. It replaced their, HF2000. And basically I'm trying to consider replacing this camera right here. I've been having this camera needs to go into Sony for rework. I'm having a lot of white balance problems with it, so I'm going to send it in and have it you know, put to the test. I need a replacement camera, and everyone's been saying that those Vixia cameras are real nice, and I got a pro camera on this side right now, so I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes, but anyway, love to hear your guys' feedback. If you're using any of those Vixia Canon cameras at all, I think it's the MF30 is the one I'm looking at. And we'll love to hear your feedback on that. But while we were in there, I mean, of course, my wife is like, okay, you're going to look at cameras. I'm going to go walk around. And she went walking around. And you know how it is you, they get the kids go play in the game machines. And she was couldn't find her. So, you know, we talked about a freezer replacement we had to do. So I thought she might be overlooking at refrigerators and freezers. I went over there and she wasn't there. So I called her on her phone. I said, where are you at? She said, I'm over here looking at the Samsung 3D TV. I'm like, oh, really? So, you know, I did over there and take a look. And she goes, that screen is really nice. And she goes, what size is our screen at home? I'm like, well, we got a 60-inch projection Sony. And she goes, oh, that screen is so much clearer. And she's looking at the, you know, the four-color 3D TV from Samsung. And, you know, looking at the price. And, well, that price ain't too bad. And so, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, let's see, you know, it worked. And I was like, honey, it's got internet-connected TV. We're going to have our apps on there. You're going to be able to do Netflix. You're going to be able to, you know, do YouTube. You're going to be able to, you know, I'm going to be able to watch my show and the other shows on Blueberry. And oh, that's cool. And we're talking about it. And I'm thinking, a few more trips to Best Buy, fellas. And I have that thing in the living room. And we'll take the projection TV and we'll put it on Craigslist and sell it. So keeping my fingers crossed. I want to congratulate a Roku giveaway winner. It's William Morrison from Washington, D.C. So William had sent a list of five different sites that he is kind of held in reserve as his secret sites. And we got a great number of inputs from you folks, but I want to congratulate William Morrison out of Washington, D.C. He's our Roku winner. I'll be sending him an email and getting him hooked up with that box. But I told you we were going to start a new contest, and we're going to go ahead and do that right now. So 2 weeks from today, actually, let's look at the calendar. We're on this, basically, it's going to be the 7th here in a few hours. And the Apple TV is not due until the end of the month. So should I run this at least 3 weeks? One, two, three. Yeah, let's go ahead. On the 27th of September, the show on the 27th of September will give away an Apple TV. And how we're going to do that is everyone that's currently an insider or anyone that contributes to the show between is a one-time contribution or someone that is actually signs up as an insider between now and the end of the month will have a chance to win this Apple TV. So we'll see how this goes. First time we've done this, tied it to the insider program. We'll see how that rolls. And but that's basically how that's going to work. Again, either a one-time contribution or basically, if you sign up for the $2 plan, you are automatically be enrolled. And even if you cancel after the first month, you'll still be in the running to win an Apple TV. So we'll do that. And you can find information on the insider program at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Still got a list here to go through for the show editions, for the additional shows for Geek News Central. Got to get through those. And I did not get into the sponsor tweet stuff this weekend as well as I had hoped to. So that's still on tap for me. But I got a lot of tech stuff to talk about. I promised you that I would get into the set-top box stuff. And I'm going to cover that during the normal coverage of the show tonight. We'll take a minute here. We'll just get through the sponsor message. And then we'll get into the what I learned at the set-top box conference and some takeaways there. As you guys know, this podcast is brought to you in part by Infusionsoft, dedicated to revolutionizing the way small businesses grow. Are you a slave to your business? Do you miss out on games, recitals, holidays because your business needs you? Is the constant stress finally really getting to you? Infusionsoft can help. Infusionsoft has helped thousands of overwhelmed entrepreneurs put their businesses on autopilot and get their lives back through the power of automated follow-up. Infusionsoft can help you too. Visit infusionsoft.com/pod1 to see it in action. Thanks for Infusionsoft for being a sponsor here at the show. We're excited to have them on board as a longtime sponsor here, and we hope that you'll check out Infusionsoft. All right, let me go ahead and talk about the Set Top Box conference before I get into all the regular tech news. And I just basically, I've got a couple sheets and notes and some highlighted stuff that I basically, I'm going to share everything, but this event was really heavily attended by operators, the folks from Cox Cable, the folks from Time Warner, all those types of folks. Plus, there was set-top box manufacturers there. There was people from all the major networks. Google was there. Pretty high-level CEO, CTO-type folks. And so I kind of felt like a little bit of fish out of water, but there were some, you know, some good takeaways here. And I think something that was said at the very, very beginning that really made me kind of go, and you guys know I've been on this mode for a while, but a statement was made, the TV will become an app. In other words, today, when you think about TV, you turn it on and it's what your cable or your dish provider provides to you. But at some point in the near future, the television is going to be considered just an app, another application on the device. In other words, you turn your TV on or you boot your TV up. And at that point, you are essentially going to be into a broad selection of application services, games, you name it. And then TV will just be a selection on there. Consumers today consider apps important. And what they're really saying here is that we're going to have to work to personalize the TV, personalize these apps. Without personalization, it's not going to work real well, because if my kid loads TV up, or you know, the future TV, his options are going to be much different than, you know, what I want. Like when I turn the TV on, it goes to channel the news channel immediately. If my son turns the TV on, he may want to go to a different type of thing. So they're talking about making the TVs aware of who is behind the remote control initially when they turn it on and stuff. So I don't know if that's going to, how that's going to work, but they're saying personalization is key. But as these apps and different things evolve onto the television sets, they're saying that if you have to search for it, search is the last resort. When consumers search, you have failed. And I kind of thought, was that a dig at Google TV? Because, you know, Google TV is going to tie in heavily to search. So again, this guy said, search is last resort. When consumers search for content, you have failed. Have you ever tried to find something? Now, those of you that have a TiVo, this doesn't apply. But for those of you that have an old school set-top box or DVR provided by whatever cable provider, have you ever tried to search for a show? It's horrible. It's like a DOS experience. It really is. It's not good. Now, another thing that they said is, what apps are going to cross into the television platform? They said most won't, because the TV is more, at this point, has become more of a consumption device. But I think they're being very narrow-minded thinking in this. I think that a lot of apps are going to cross more than they think. And of course, the big thing they were working about was, well, we can't track and monetize this stuff, and there's no analytic solutions on some of these devices, aka the Roku, Boxy. Cookies on devices don't exist, you know, and you know, they're talking about all this tracking that they're currently doing. And then with us basically going OTT with Roku, Boxy, being able to use the Samsung devices, Vudu, and so forth, they can't track us. Now, we have a very good idea what's going on with the content on from our channels. We have analytics. We know how many people are viewing or watching or listening to content. We know that well. But one thing they did concede is that Google TV is going to change TV as we know it. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. There was a demo but today by Sony. We'll have that up in the show a little bit later. But can you believe this, that right now they say that the average household consumes 158 hours of TV a month, where they only consume 3 hours of video a month on a computer? To me, that didn't make a lot of sense. Now, the last session of the day before I had to leave out of there to go on to get to the airport. I got to pull this card here. I don't have my business card case in front of me, but and I'll talk about him. I'm actually scheduled to talk with him next week. But he says, who's going to be the winner in the war for the television platform? He makes these concessions or these comments. TV today is pretty good. We can get a lot of content out of it. He also says it's pretty closed. He says that there's a lot of bad attempts at convergence. In other words, there's been a lot of attempts so far to converge TV. You know, Windows was one that really tried to make a convergence with Windows Media Center, but that really didn't work. He says there's new ways: Boxy, Apple TV, Logitech Review, Google TV. And he does say it's now about distribution. And I completely agree. I was like, yahoo, I agree. It's all about distribution. He says, though, no, most homes, only four devices reside basically on the table that your television is. Usually, one, it's an AV receiver. Two, it's the cable set-top box, which is usually plugged into HDMI 1. Probably a Blu-ray or a DVD player. And fourth, a gaming console. So usually there's only four on the average TV. So he's saying, how many people are going to be willing to have an additional device like a Roku or a Boxy? You know, will they replace that for the AV receiver? Will they replace that as a cable set-top box? He said the challenge is really for HDMI 1. But my thought was why do you need HDMI 1 control is when Samsung and LG and everyone else is going to have all this stuff built right in the set top, or right in the television. So who's going to be the winner? He says, well, a maybe winner is Samsung, Sony, LG, Panasonic, but they were like cable companies. They're pretty closed and controlled. Maybe Popbox, Roku, or Boxy. They're a maybe winner. And here's what blew me away. He said, yes, a winner is definitely going to be Cox, Dish, Time Warner. He says, because they have a monopoly and they have big money and government, basically, you know, lots of money to spend with the government. And ultimately, even though they may be a little slow, they're going to get mass penetration into the home with the set-top boxes, with the applications that they can monetize, basically through your normal contract you have with your cable provider. My thought on that was, can they do it fast enough? And with 100,000 people, I mean 100 million people needing new set-top boxes, that's not a cheap proposition for them. He goes on to say, yes, as well, Apple TV. Apple TV is definitely going to be a winner in that market just because Apple does, you know, ultimately they're going to get it right. So I kind of thought, Now here's saying, his name was Jeremy Toman, was the guy that did this presentation. Another thing he says, yes, content publishers are going to win. ABC, HBO, NBC, and folks like me and Raw Voice that, you know, work with content distribution points. Now, he said, ultimately, really what's going to cause it to be a game changer is college kids today consume television different. Ask them whether they would have like to have a really totally tricked out laptop or a 60-inch television set, and most would pick a tricked out laptop. So kind of interesting thoughts there from the Set-Top Box conference. A couple of just last oh-by-the-ways. Long format contact has increased dramatically in the last couple of years via streaming. The 8 to 11 p.m. time frame has jumped 14%. So if I could get this show on by 5 p.m. Honolulu time, by 8 p.m. Pacific, I might be able to get into that 14% crowd. But also, the definition of TV is changing. They're saying that they're defining Hulu as TV watching, even though they're doing it through your PC. So it is kind of interesting to see what they had to say there and some of the comments and assertions. But I will tell you this, the cable providers were scared to death. You could tell they were desperate, that they were worried about the likes of Roku, Boxy. You know, I heard them talk about Netflix at least 50 times. You know, they were so enamored with Netflix. They said that a device today, if it doesn't have Netflix on it, it's failed. And I was like, whoa, that's an interesting one. But for me, it's exciting because every device that Netflix is on, we can be on. And that just opens up a whole new pathway. And then Samsung's saying that they're going to have 6 million internet-connected TVs in households by the end of 2011. And for me, that means 6 million more potential viewers of this show. And that's pretty exciting stuff. So anyway, that was what happened at the Set-Top Box Conference. I wanted to share that with you guys. I know that I had promised that I would do that on the last show. But let me go ahead here and bring up the rest of the tech content. If you guys got comments on basically what I learned there and have thoughts on some of the data points that I gave you, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And this will get you the gateway to leave a comment on the show. Over at businessopportunities.biz, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that have really, you know, an alcohol addiction, or they have, you know, they've run into trouble with the law with DUIs two or three times. A gentleman here by the, let me bring this up in the screen here. Let me see if I can bring that up. A gentleman by the name of Tom Edwards, he openly admits his guilt over drinking and driving. But today he's created a new tool in the fight against drinking and driving. And about basically, he's developed a key that he has to blow in. It's called Safe Key. It's similar in size to a car alarm fob. Safe Key attaches to a keychain and forces the user to pass a simple test of eye-hand coordination, pressing colored buttons in order they light up, in order for the car's ignition to work. His new gadget hand, Edwards explained his invention to a longtime friend, and they begin selling this device. So far, the company based in Minneapolis sold about 100 safe keys via the internet. They sell for about $200 each, and it costs about $70 to have the immobilizer device installed in a vehicle. And, you know, what I thought was kind of cool about this device was my biggest worry, as I have a daughter fast approaching driving age, is, you know, we've talked, well, we haven't really got to the point of talking about alcohol and driving yet, because we aren't at the driving stage, but I would imagine we would have that discussion here in about a year and a half, is that kids today, drinking and driving, even adults, but kids primarily, that are drinking underage, are really a lot more susceptible to killing someone or themselves in an automobile accident when they're driving. Now, I'm not about tracking and control, but I can absolutely guarantee you that if one of my kids has an incident where there is a alcohol incident and they've drove home drunk or had some liquor and not called dad to come get them, then something like this would get installed. So what do you guys think about this key to sobriety? Do you think this would be a good thing for your under 18-year-olds to have to utilize? Or is it, you know, you got enough trust in your kids that they're going to do this? You know, and I'd be, you know, when I was younger, of course, it was a different time frame. My dad basically told me, if you go out there and go to a party and you have a few cocktails, you know, I'm not going to condone what you're doing, but I'm going to condone it worse if you drive home. You better call me, and then, you know, I'll come get you, no questions asked, and then we'll talk about the situation in the morning. And I employed that one time, and I did not employ that one time, and I can tell you the time that I employed the ride home was much more favorable in the lesson response than the time that I didn't call home. So, you know, kids are going to do stuff, and they're going to experiment, and the question is, what are you guys going to do? You think this key to sobriety would be something good for your young adult that's driving? And, you know, hopefully he's got enough, or she has enough common sense to call mom or dad, but, you know, is this something that you would employ? Love to hear your feedback on it. All right, let's talk just a little bit about Craigslist. First of all, the behavior and actions of people utilizing the adult section of, I'm not going to talk about the moral, or I'm not going to talk about the risk or anything else that's involved with soliciting services from what was available via that section of Craigslist. But I do want to talk just a little bit about censorship. You know, there's all kinds of websites online right now where, matter of fact, there was a site that did a follow-up to basically Craigslist has been under fire to have removed this adult services section for a long time. I guess Friday, they basically shuttered it. They put a censored label over the tag area where it was before. I don't know if they're making a political statement or what. But it does raise some questions, because there are all kinds of other sites that have exactly the same thing all over the place. And this was, I read this from an article that basically did a review of all, I just kind of like, wow, couldn't believe how many places people could go find companionship, I guess for a better word. But there was a poll done. It shows that internet citizens oppose what's going on with the Craigslist censorship. A poll at Mashable shows that 71% of respondents voted no to the question, should Craigslist adult services be censored? Meanwhile, the Washington Post asked its readers, do you agree with the Craigslist decision to block its adult section? 52% of them said no as well. Now, I know very well that 71% of the respondents on Mashable, there's just no way utilize that portion of that site services or listings or whatever it is. So the question is, do you feel that Craigslist has been forced into a censorship issue? You know, there's a such thing as about being a good net citizen, and you know, there's all kinds of reasons to take something down that may fit along a business model, may figure follow around the company's philosophy, the religious standing of the company. Who knows? There's a whole bunch of different reasons to do it. So the question is, do you believe that they are fairly being targeted, and do you think that they should be censored? I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. And I have a link up to this. One of it's about article on BuzzMachine.com about regulating sex and speech. And the other article is, again, this is one that's on PC World talking about the actual polling results. So I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this, trying to keep it family safe. But, you know, this is something that is that's out there and comes with, with risk in utilizing that stuff. But let's have a talk just purely on the censorship structure, whether or not it was right or not. So anyway, we'll have that have these two links up in the show notes for you. Okay, let's talk just a little bit about customers. And I saw this little cartoon, and actually, let me bring it up. It's pretty funny. And this is an article that I found over at churchofcustomer.com. It's the first time I've visited this site. This is a new one that I found. Actually, let me take the overlay down. Jumping the shark. And this is, has your product jumped the shark? And it goes on to say, we've steadily accumulated years of brand loyalty. But now that we've hit a rough patch, let's throw it all away on product proliferation and gimmicky promotions. So, in the rush to maintain momentum, there's obviously a lot of pressure by companies to try types of, weird things to do, weird giveaways, lots of product rollouts that may impact negatively the company's line. And I don't know who they were really focusing on here and which company they were targeting. They don't say, but has any company that, at least in a, I was thinking it was Apple. Has Apple with their steadily accumulated years of brand loyalty. You've got hardcore Apple fanatics. Now, they haven't hit a rough patch, but they have taken quite a lot of heat over Apple TV and the new Apple TV. So could this be considered jumping the shark with Apple TV? I don't know. Does this mean, because I've seen, now Apple's just making junk. That's what I keep seeing in the comments. So this is what kind of drug me into this article a little bit. But love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. I have a link up for you in the show notes. Next thing is something I run into all the time, and I'm trying to figure out how to avoid doing it. It's an article by Darren, it's over at DarrenBarefoot.com. It's talked about shopping without buying. And I know every one of us has done this. We've walked into a store. I did it today. I walked into a Best Buy. I looked at a Canon camera. I knew what the retail price on it was, $699. I knew that probably if I went to Amazon.com, I could probably get the same camera for $549 with free shipping. And, you're kind of looking at it, trying to make up a decision. My wife said, you're going to buy the camera. And I'm kind of, she said, I got a 12% coupon at home. You can use that if you want. And so I asked the salesman, I said, will you guys price match Amazon.com? And he kind of looks at me kind of funny. He says, do you want it now or do you want to wait a week? I said, well, $150 cheaper, I can wait a week to get on Amazon. So the question we should start asking, if we want to support our local merchants, are they willing to price match stuff that you can find online? Usually they will price match what you can find around town, but often they will not price match what you can find online. Maybe they can't. So, what is the, what's the happy medium? $150 is $150. That's half my electricity bill for the month. Yes, my electricity bill is $280 a month. We pay 27 or 28 cents a kilowatt here. So the question then is, what do you do? You want to support that local merchant, maybe not necessarily Best Buy, maybe a smaller merchant of sorts. So do we ask them to price match something online? Is that fair? Have you done that? Have you gotten a response? Have you just been given the finger and told to go away? I like to walk away with a product, but at the same time, I want to get a fair price for it. If it's a small price differential, I always, you know, I never even hesitate. But if it's that big, you know, we have to try to get a deal. So what are you guys doing? Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. One thing that was very apparent this weekend is I have an iPad. My wife has an iPad. I have an iPhone 3G. My wife's got the 2G or whatever it is iPhone that she took after I got to 3G. So her iPhone's not super good. But here, this is the thing that happened last night. Daughter's in the corner with an iPad. Son's in the other corner with the other iPad. My son's got my iPhone, and they're all gaming. So I asked my son today in the car, I'm like, you know, what would you rather have? Would you rather have, you know, a Game Boy or whatever that things are called, the Nintendo DS? I had to look over there because we got a box, an old box. Would you have the Nintendo DS or the whatever's new there? Or would you rather have, you know, an iTouch that you can do gaming on? He says, Dad, these games are getting really good on Apple and they're cheap. And, you know, I bought him a $3 game and he's been, you know, they come and get the phone or the iPad and then they've been playing it for 2 weeks. $3. You know, compared to $49.95 for the game that they were playing on Mario, whatever thing on the Wii and the in Best Buy while we were waiting to go. So I was, you know, I said, well, let me see this game you're playing. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't looked. So I turned over and I looked at the game he was playing on the iPad, and I was like, wow. And he says, yeah, they're getting really good. And so the question is, are you getting that response at home? Are your kids saying, I want a, you know, iTouch instead of a Nintendo DS or whatever game, you know, system they're playing? I think it's, I think Apple has, you know, when my kids, you know, are thinking they don't need a Nintendo DS no more, that tells me that these other companies are in big trouble when it comes to these hand gaming systems. Now, of course, he was playing on the iPad, and he doesn't get access to it a lot. And, of course, my iPhone's with me. But with an iTouch, he could do it. But that's, you know, think of the price point there. Pretty competitive with the Nintendo DS. Hey, when we were at CES 2010, you guys saw us the demo on some of the cool little helicopters and stuff that were flying around. The folks over at ardronehelicopters.com are launching their drone helicopter this coming Thursday. It's available through Amazon on pre-order. And here's another app. Here's another device that you can fly the thing with a you can fly the actual helicopter with a I'm trying to bring this up on the screen. You can actually fly this thing with your iPhone. Oh gosh. And pretty cool device. I don't know what is the price on this thing. Does it show? I don't know, but it's so cool. It makes me want to get one. And I'm sure it's the price point is probably out of the range of one of those toys that is going to be allowed to be purchased. But if you're looking for this, they're going to be available here shortly. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some stuff going on with Facebook. Facebook and Twitter accounts have been hacked with a free iPad scam. If you've seen an iPad, some sort of an image being uploaded to your Facebook page is tagged with your name that isn't something you uploaded, be very careful. Spammers exploited a vulnerability in Facebook's photo upload system to spam both Facebook and Twitter with photos promising free iPads and phones. The photos, which were posted to people's walls by exploiting a flaw in which it was not checked whether a photo could be posted to someone's profile, pretended to be from a profile owner and promoted schemes promising cheaper free gadgets, particularly iPhones and iPads. So this is something that's been an issue. I think Facebook has since plugged this, but I haven't seen those things come in all the time. How many of you have seen those messages come through? Free iPad. Yeah, free iPad, whatever. Definitely not going to happen. Picture I saw that I wanted to share. This is came from a Thomas Hawk's Digital Connection. If you haven't followed Thomas Hawk before, you should. He basically his blog's all pictures, but he's got an image. It's basically the death of the newspaper business, plate three, and it just shows newspaper stands by the hundreds stacked up in a junkyard. And it just goes to show you that the business of the newspapers is rapidly in trouble. And these aren't old, rusted newspaper stands. These are all pretty new. Hey, South by Southwest has announced their interactive pricing. I haven't decided whether I'm going to go to South by Southwest this spring or not. But South by Southwest has raised the price. And I think this is good to a certain extent. And you have to say, why are they raising the price? South by Southwest interactive prices were $3.95 and $5.50 in last year. But prices this year are $4.50 for early bird and $7.50 for on-site. And maybe, you know, there was a lot of people there at South by Southwest that weren't there to do business. They're just there to party. And I don't blame people. They just want to go to an event to party. But it definitely was not this event to do business. And I just wonder if South by Southwest is trying to shape the crowd a little bit by raising the prices a little bit. $55, is that going to change? You know, and it's actually more expensive to go to South by Southwest and stay there during that event than it is to go to Vegas and stay during CES now. The hotel price, I think I paid $1,300 last year for my hotel at South by Southwest for about 2.5-3 days or something. And, so this is going to be, I'll have to watch and see what the price is. But, anyway, that, we'll see what happens with the attendance this year. But are you planning on going? If you are, I'd love to hear from you. And if enough people go, that's part of the audience here, maybe I'll put it up on the priority list. I haven't decided yet. Got to get through CES 2011 first. Hey, congratulations to those of you in Canada. A Canadian astronaut has been named the very first the new ISS commander that's going to be taking charge of the International Space Station starting in 2013. So this is cool. It's very good. Chris Hadfield will fly to ISS on the Soyuz spacecraft in December 2012 and become the commander of Expedition 35 in March 2013 after crew rotation. He will become the first Canadian astronaut to command an ISS crew and the second Canadian to perform a long-duration spaceflight. So the congratulations to that, and nice to see that the partners are getting some top spots at the International Space Station. All right, even though today was Labor Day, how many of you worked today? I will officially say I put in 3 hours. I put in 3 hours, maybe 2.5, finishing a proposal for a advertising vendor. But over at readwriteweb.com, they asked that same question to up on Twitter today. And some guy responded, entrepreneurs never take days off. Well, to an extent, sometimes you have to. But I must admit, I'm one of those guys that don't take too much time off. So, you know, did you guys work? Did you guys work on Labor Day? Or did you take it off completely? To be honest with you, and maybe this is a sickness, and maybe it's just because I grew up in a family that believes in hard work. I feel guilty taking time off. I really do. I always feel like there's always something that can be done, especially when you're building a business and you have employees that are responsible to get paid. There's really, you know, that's a lot of responsibility, a lot of pressure. So for me, it's very, very hard to take a day off. And sometimes you have to, but maybe it's a sickness. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I was raised, but I don't think I've ever taken a full day off where I didn't check email or something, respond to it. It's just very hard to do that. Over at Inc.com, this is a great one. And this is not so much tech related per se, but I thought it's, you know, being that we're coming off Labor Day and they're going to have a stretch here, run up to the holidays and before I think we have any more major vacation days. How many of you are scaling your business with technology? How many of you are using technology available to you in a good way? I think this title of this, or the first paragraph in this article, sums it up. In today's economy, companies are looking at every opportunity, every tool available to help them prepare for growth. The answer for many is technology, but before you invest, make sure you understand just how it impacts your organization. One thing we worked on at Raw Voice, something we had to from the very beginning because we're so small, was automation. Everything that we could automate, we have, minus a couple of things, which we're doing now, which really is going to save me a huge amount of work hours. No more 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. All-nighters pulling bookkeeping data. But to pay our podcasters, we're going to automate a lot of that process. But automation is big. And I think for me, it's always been about time compression. What used to take me 40 hours now takes me 3, and, you know, vice, you know, just trying to define those processes. But you also, when you're thinking about automation, you got to look at, you know, how much you're going to get for your investment. Is it going to cost you $100,000 to implement that? And then what's the trade-off in time and hours that you would have to work? And, you know, what's the payback on that? And sometimes that's a challenge, and you really have to look at it from that perspective as well. Is it just cheaper to hire somebody at $10 an hour and pay them to do that work, or $20 an hour, than investing the money to build out the automation process? But I think this is a smart article for any of you out there that are building a business. And I got to share this with you guys. This one here is funny. It's just, if you know, last show, I brought up a YouTube video for you to check out. And this one, all I can say is, it's definitely on a Japanese television station. And I'm going to play it for the folks on Ustream, but this is entitled Your Weekly Dose of Asian Insanity. And I have to admit, on Japanese TV, they have all kinds of crazy stuff from time to time. But this particular commercial on Japanese TV definitely topped the case. And I'm going to play this for those of you on Ustream. And I'll just talk a little bit about it for those of you that are listening. And then you guys can come over and see it yourself. So I'll bring this up. And I'll play this here. This is on a YouTube's. What you're seeing are two very heavily set men who are dancing, and they have the picture of a face drawn onto their bellies with a wig over the top of their shoulders. And all I can say is, you just got to see this. Only on Japanese TV will you ever see anything like this. And it's absolutely hilarious. It really is. But it's just funny stuff like this I just can't pass up. All right, let's take just a second here and mid-show sponsor message. You guys know I use GoToMeeting and talk about automating your processes that you do it at the office. You got to do more and travel less. And you can do that with GoToMeeting. You know, you can present to people across the world, different, if you want to have a sales presentation, if you want to collaborate something right from your PC, you can do that. And really, GoToMeeting is really a way you can save money. It allows you to use a voice IP service built right into it. Really, you can hold as many meetings as you want for a low rate. And you take advantage of this, you can go over to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. For a free 30-day trial by using our GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast link. And thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. Hey, Sony at the IFA show showed off Google TV. And of course, I'm trying to get as much intel as I can on Google TV as quick as I can, just to see really what this thing is all about. And It's pretty cool what the demo that they did. Well, they actually showed a video of the actual, they didn't allow you to see it in real life. They just showed you a video of the demo. And this was kind of interesting from the fact that you can tell they're close to having this integrated. And the 2-minute video that the folks over at Engadget have should give you some insight into what is being planned and how it's being integrated. And I do like how the interface works overlaying over the top of the TV programming. It's not too intrusive. You can still see what's going on in the background. And this particular issue, particular video, one of the things they're showing is a Google map, and where you can basically take you to the location that's being shown in the television show. But there's a variety of different things that they show in the demo. Some picture-in-picture stuff as well, which is pretty awesome. I think that was probably the coolest part, was definitely the picture-in-pictures part of the video. But I have this link in the show notes. You guys can check it out. And another reason maybe to pick up a Sony TV is with Google TV built in. Boy, it's tough between Samsung and their ITV stuff, and everyone's coming out with cool stuff. Can't buy them all, that's for sure. All right. If you have ever, first of all, those of you that are listening, how many of you have ever played Duke Nukem? I'm raising my hand. I'm not a gamer, but it doesn't matter. Almost everybody has played Duke Nukem. And the reason it was one of the coolest games to come out years ago. Now, it's been 13 years. Yes, 13 years. When they 13 years ago that they announced Duke Nukem Forever, and it's actually finally been given a release date, and I'll actually see if this is actually happening. You know, this game was first announced in 1998, and it was canceled when 3D Realms collapsed. But the original Duke Nukem was released in 1991, and was a side-scrolling shooter game that pitted the player against an army of robots. It was pretty cool. And, but there's been a lot of fans have been waiting for 13 years. Can you imagine a 13 wait for a game update or from the date it was initially announced? But that's the case. Hey, just goes to show you, you know, even respected journalists can make mistakes. And I say that, I should say that out of the side of my mouth, because we know journalists make mistakes all the time. But, a sports writer over at the Washington Post has gotten just a little bit of trouble. What he did, and let me scroll over here. Come on now, mouse, get in the right window. This Washington Post reporter put up a Twitter post that Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger basically put up a phony scoop about him being traded or signed with a specific football team when it actually didn't happen. And what he was trying to do, he was doing an experiment where he was trying to illustrate the weakness of blogs and social networks as news sources because people don't do fact checking. So, you know, he just put this, you know, fake post up and trying to see how many people would jump on this as a way to do kind of like a research study to try to figure out how many people would actually retweet this and blog it and post it. This is actually happening. So instead, this guy has been suspended from the Washington Post because he is a signed reporter with the Washington Post. He's not supposed to be putting up false information. And the folks at Washington Post felt that his actions was detrimental to their brand, and he posted an official, basically as an official, you know, as from Washington Post. So they're not happy with him. And so what do you think? You think about this guy. Do you think his, you know, is obviously, I know what he was trying to do there. He was trying to discredit, you know, probably the hundreds of people that jumped on that and wrote about it. But he hasn't really followed up and said how many people actually did or did not do that. But when a sports writer that has a reputation of putting out good information does something, then you would automatically, you know, you think, okay, this guy's legit. He has something to it. And if you're a sports fan, you're going to, you know, you're going to react accordingly. All right. You remember this, how could we forget, just a few short weeks ago that HP's CEO Mark Hurd was let go from HP rounding some sort of sexual harassment issue that was settled. But he's going to be going over to Oracle. And he's going to be taking a senior post over there. So, you know, he's not out of a job too long. And, you know, he took his $26 million or whatever it was, and now he's going to go over to Oracle and have another senior job over there. You know, if you and I had some sort of sexual harassment, we got let go of a job, do you think we would have a job in like 2 weeks? Do you think so? We'd be unemployed for years. We'd have to change our names. Oh, man. Hey, over at QuickComputerWorld.com, a secret copyright treaty draft has been leaked after Washington talks. And basically, this is the ACTA document that we've talked about a few times, the anti-counterfeit trade agreement that the United States is trying to shove down a bunch of countries' throats. But in the latest ACTA draft, it appears that DRM has taken a presence within the document, and they're trying to invoke three-strike rules and all kinds of DRM rules. So it's nice to see that the United States is continuing to try to influence other countries to sign for this. Other parties in the negotiations currently are Australia, Canada, the European Union, Japan, South Korea, Mexico, Morocco, New Zealand, Singapore, and Switzerland. There's no China. There's no other of these other countries that basically steal all digital property. Boy, a lot of good this treaty is going to do. All right, leak has revealed that some of the largest Google ad purchasers, and I think you guys will get a kick out of this, AT&T spent $8.08 million this last quarter. The Apollo Group, whoever that is, $6.67 million. Expedia, $5.95 million. Amazon, $5.85 million. The folks over at eBay, $4.25 million. Oh, BP Corporation, somewhere between, $3.59 million they spent on Google ad for search results. $3.59 million. I guess that was a bigger portion than they have ever spent ever before. Hotels.com, $3.3 million. JCPenney, $2.46. Living Social, whoever that company is, $2.29 million. ADT Security, $2.19 million spent on search ad results over at Google. Hey, companies that are in that list, come on, talk to me over at Rob Weiss. We'll give you one heck of a deal. You'll get better ROI than you'll ever get on those ad deals. Let's talk. Hey, over at Discover.com, actually DiscoveryMagazine.com, DiscoverMagazine.com, there's an awesome picture that Hubble has captured. And you probably can't see this real good on the stream, but it's a spiral. And I'm not going to give away the secret. This is a real picture. It's not doctored. If you saw that, if you saw something like that with a naked eye, you'd be scared to death. But obviously, this was a 37-minute exposure by Hubble. And the crux of the story is the only reason they were able to see this phenomenon was because of starlight. And I'm not going to go any further than that. I have it linked up in the show notes. But this is really cool. I'm going to have this on my desktop. And I'll try to explain it to people. printing out the article, sticking it in my briefcase, actually my computer bag, but it's really cool. It's one of the most interesting photos I've ever, one of the most interesting space photos I've seen in a long time. It really is awesome. A Commodore. Hey, Commodore, you know, has announced that they were going to be restarting their line, putting up some new computers. Well, apparently, Commodore USA has threatened OSNews.com with legal action because they weren't very pleased about an article they wrote about them in which he placed a considerable amount of skepticism with regards to Commodore USA and its business and website. The Commodore sent them a threatening email demanding that they take down the article and post a correction to the article. But anyway, Commodore's not happy that this site definitely had some negative things to say about Commodore. And, but of course, hey, they posted this whole takedown letter right on the website. It came right from Barry Altman, the CEO of Commodore USA. I know some of you are old school Commodore fans. What do you think about the Commodore line coming back? You're going to go dust out that Commodore gear? Do you think they have the potential to bring anything to market that would be cool? I don't know. All right, over on Slashdot, you know that we talked about last time that Sony had shut down that PS jailbreaker in Australia. But there's a new open source hack available from PS Groove. It's an open source version of the hack that has now opened the floodgates of ports to mobile phones such as Nokia 900 and Palm Pre. That basically is going to really open up the PlayStation 3. And this is very cool. So you can make a homebrew hack to bust into your console, and you don't need to have that little stick anymore bought from those folks at PS Jailbreak who they got shut down. So apparently you can do the same thing. There's some sort of a hack that you can do for your TI-84 Plus graphing. I don't know what that has involved with this, but have a link up to the article in Slashdot. But if you want to open up your PlayStation, you can. Hey, how does this make you feel? Does this make you feel a little comfortable? Airline CEO of Ryanair is pushing to go to one pilot in the cockpit. He wants to save money, go from 2 to 1. He thinks it is not necessary to have 2 pilots on every flight. What do you guys think about that? I know what I think about that. No way. Been flying too long. Things happen. No way. That's just an accident waiting to happen. Okay, a couple of articles from GNC. I want to thank Alan for his article on 5 Firefox add-ons you must have. This is a great one. I have that link up in the show notes for you. Have you heard about this doctor on wheels? Have you went to the hospital and been met by a doctor that is on wheels? This is basically where a doctor can be in another country and they can be run a robot into the hospital room and ask you how you're feeling. And if you're having a heart attack, basically tell them to administer the drugs and everything. Well, doctor on wheels is becoming used a lot more in hospitals across the country to make rounds, work in emergency rooms. I don't want one of these things coming in when I'm having a cardiac or heart attack. You know, I want the doc there, you know, looking at me, touching me. But this is something new. Doctor on wheels. This may be your next doctor. Yes, a robot. It's a real doctor, but he's somewhere else. Just you're looking at a computer screen instead of looking into the guy's eyes and getting a feel for, you know, that's ultimate just slap in the face, isn't it? It really, really is. Or you guys have known that since 2005, my dream has been to be able, and I've talked about this a number of times on the show, is to be able to take a device such as a, let's say I'm in the, get up for breakfast, I'm listening to my favorite podcast on whatever device I'm listening to on. And I have to take my kids to school, so as I'm walking out the door, all of a sudden my device that I have with me basically picks up from where I left off and I can listen to that content in my car. And I talked to the folks at Ford Sync about this. I've talked about this for years. But finally, AirPlay from Apple may be the ones that's going to make this possible. Right now, this way this new AirPlay is going to work is that you can be watching something on your iPad or your iPhone, movie, music, something like that. And you say, oh, I want to transfer that over to my Apple TV. All you got to do is click the AirPlay button. Brings up a list of components that are online and available. You click the components you want, and it transfers the content that you're watching to the Apple TV or to a different device. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Apple, all you need now is to get this whole food chain working so that I can be on 3G and watch the same material without having to be on Wi-Fi, and you have got yourself a winner. It's all about consuming it where you want, when you want. All right, last article for the night is an article from basically it's a YouTube video on the amazing Amazon box. I'm going to leave you with that. But if you ever wondered why your Amazon box came beat up or your stuff was broke that was inside or you have a box that's missing, this video will solve that. Okay, we're running long on the content tonight. I took a lot of time talking about the set-top box stuff. Let me go ahead and get into the email comments. Actually, I got one voicemail, so let me go ahead and play that first thing here. This is a short one, 39 seconds, and then we'll get into the email content. So here we go on the first voicemail. Of course, if you want to call in a comment on tonight's show, 619-342-7365, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Here we go.
Hi, Todd. This is Joshua in Arkansas. I was just wondering on your show if you would include a little bit about the difference of the Android on Verizon and the iPhone on AT&T, because I haven't heard any updates as to if they were still having problems with the iPhone or the Android. I've not heard they've had any problems with the Android, but I was just wondering, because I'm on AT&T, I was wondering if the iPhone would be a better option than the phone I have or not. Thank you.
Hey, you know, so far as the difference between an Android and the iPhone, I think a lot of it has to do at this point on personal preference. We, you know, we've badgered, you know, AT&T to death I think we can be absolutely guaranteed by the end of the year, you're probably going to be able to get an iPhone on a Verizon service or maybe even T-Mobile. We know that's coming. So far as the Android goes, obviously available on multiple mobile carriers. I think what you should really think about is where you live and where you're going to use the phone. What is the reputation of the service in your area? You know, talk to people in your area that have an Android or have an iPhone and ask them, okay, how is your 3G service on the iPhone? How is your 3G or 4G, if it's available on your Android? Talk to them about, you know, the experience level, where you're going to be using the phone. I think that's critical. I know that where my mom lives, definitely Verizon, hands down, is the winner. So I would go with a Verizon phone, probably an Android. If, you know, where I live here in Honolulu, it's kind of a mixed bag. When I was in Silicon Valley, you know, I had no issues. But it all depends on where you're at. It's going to really lead into where, you know, what device you get. None of them are perfect. They're all suffering from, you know, all of us using bandwidth heavily on the network. So, you know, just weigh which way you want to go. If you're more geek, be honest with you, you may be more happy with an Android. But I think it goes back to the really kind of what service available is in your area. So that's the best way to kind of determine it. If you travel a lot like I do, you know, it's a mixed bag. It really, really is. So I travel with a Sprint EVDO card. I have a Verizon EVDO card. I have my AT&T iPhone. So, you know, I got all three, really, of the biggies that, and, you know, I have different varying levels of service everywhere I go. You know, and I don't really compare mobile plans. I just compare what my EVDO service is. So just ask around. That's the best thing. And thanks for your call. I definitely appreciate it. All right, got an email here. Hey, Tom, got your app for being a host. So thanks for that. Got an email here from Stephanie. Says, hey, Todd, long time listening to your podcast here. I introduce you to, actually, this is Stefan has a suggestion on who should be one of my new show hosts. So thanks for that, Stefan. We got that. I got a Roku entry from William Foley. Got one here, a Clearwire 4G question from Dick. He says, hey, Todd, avid listener since show 15 or so. You mentioned that you have Clearwire. We just got 4G here in Boston, but it seems a bit slow, 1.5 to 2. Did you notice a difference plugging it into a USB 1.1 or USB 2.0 port? And again, this was Dick from Derry, New Hampshire. Hey, Dick, you know what I did? I've got the Clearwire big box. I don't have the dongle. I've got the big device, and I see about 3 megs, 3.5 megs down on good days, and about 750 up is what I'm seeing with that. But again, I've got a full 5 bars on that device. So, again, I don't have got the unit that's not for mobile devices, but for, you know, it's got that basically that big brick, its antenna. That's the one I have that I plug into a router. So, you know, maybe I can't really give you a comparison there on devices. I got an email here from Tim. Hey, Tim, I thought you would enjoy this link regarding ways to watch the NFL. I'm not a big NFL watcher, but I'll definitely share this with Johanna because I know we've got a bunch of NFL fans as well. Chris, I want to thank you for your, boy, you sent me like 10 new sources for me to check out. I want to thank Jim for his email. He said, hey, Todd, NASA releases the, actually, we talked about this the last show. So that was actually the last email as well. But everyone, thanks for your emails. And that's actually going to allow me to kind of finish on time. Amazing. So I hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. I hope that you've had some time to relax. And I hope everyone has a good week back at work. And I hope that you'll consider coming out to the morning tech show this coming Saturday. It's going to be 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. I'll talk about who's going to be on the show on the Thursday night show or the Friday release. So basically mark your calendar for that. We're going to have a lot of fun. And if you have something you want us to talk about in depth, please do so. And if you have someone that you think would be a good guest for the show, or you have a contact that you think would be a good guest for a future show, we want to bring in tech celebrities, people that are involved in different types of things in the space. This is a place where we're just going to kind of have an open conversation. It's going to be a fun show for me to do, more of a relaxed kickback stance. Drink a cup of coffee with the guys that are going to be on with me. We're going to start out initially with three people, and then we'll kind of grow the show as time goes on, see how the format works. But look forward to doing that. Hey, again, I know I've changed the format up of the show a little bit, but I've just had to do that moving into this new model that I'm basically, I fully understand that maybe you all are not happy with three ads during the show. And I'm not going to say it's always going to be that way. But at this point, in order to move this whole process forward and for me to have enough really money sitting on the table to build out the rest of the stuff that I want to build out for this show and this property, that's where we're at right now. And I'm trying to spread stuff out so it's not all boom, boom, boom together. And, we'll see how it goes. If you guys start beating me up over it, then we'll maybe have to reconsider. But, it's just one of those alternatives I had to throw in the mix, folks. And we'll see how it goes and how the reaction is from all of you. But, and I've also, you guys know I've changed the beginning of the format up a little about the show as well. So look forward to hearing you guys' comments on that now that we're kind of two shows into the new format. And I hope you guys kind of like the more relaxed nature. I'm trying to just kind of, have this, as the show has matured, go into kind of a little different state with the show at this point. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And of course, if you're subscribed, stay subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family. And this has been a great experiment. We're 608 shows into it, and the audience has continued to grow. And I appreciate you guys being here. I really do. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. We'll see you on the next show. Everyone take care. Till next time. Aloha.